The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend.
Good day. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. If you die as an unbeliever, your spirit will live for a very long time as a disembodied ancestor spirit or demon. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, "Why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist?" If you die as a believer without any form of relationship with the Creator, you will end up in the outer darkness, a cold, black, terrible place, with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, your teeth, the trash heap of heaven. Father has said concerning such believers, "Why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven, which inherently means I will give them great prestige and authority, if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted in this life?" In stark contrast, if you make a real effort to seek relationship with the Almighty, the rewards in the life to come are huge. A glorious resurrected body, great prestige, great authority, and a permanent close relationship with the Creator and with Yeshua, who you may mistakenly know as Jesus. To put this all in context, the Almighty has said, "I created human beings, this planet and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seek such a relationship with me." The essence to today's message is the essence of my message regarding creation. Overview of the message. This is part two. There's considerable debate regarding creation versus evolution and erudite broadcasts that present the arguments for and against in detail, but generally using points that are difficult to understand and difficult to prove. This broadcast sets out to prove creation from everyday things. I will assert that discrete forms are stable and not evolving, and that spirits prove creation. I will point out that discrete forms all reach perfection at the same time. I will stress that the global flood limits evolution, and stress that I have deep personal experience of the Creator. I will state that creation did not take place in seven periods of 24 hours, and that near-death experiences prove there's a Creator. I will acknowledge that does not explain where the Creator came from. I will answer the question, "So what? Why should you believe?" and then advise what to do if you now believe. I will then discuss why I believe. Finally, we will look at the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator. By way of introduction, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering and I'm a retired military commander. I now work as a management consultant. I have over 30 years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty following a dramatic encounter with him on the 12th of March 1993 when he spoke to me audibly in a locked room and I knew for certain that he was real. I was confirmed in the Anglican Church at the age of about 13 and served as an altar boy for a number of years from the age of 19. Eventually, married to an unbeliever, I became disenchanted with the hypocrisy in the church and backslid to a point where I was not even sure the Almighty existed. In this backslidden state, I embarked on an adulterous affair which, when it ended, left me desperate and suicidal. It was then that the Almighty spoke to me and I realized that my intellect had gotten me into a right mess and I chose to serve him faithfully for the rest of my life. In doing this, I applied my deep-seated aversion to failure, born out of an accident in early childhood, coupled to my engineering and military training of rigor and preventing failure, to my seeking of knowledge about Father. This journey led to numerous supernatural experiences, prayers answered, and clear communication with the Creator that forms the basis for what I teach in these programs. What is End Time Mission Ministries? It's the organizational vehicle for delivering my message through email articles, websites, this radio program, physical books, LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube, SlideShare, and Twitter. What is this program? I created as high as a deep personal relationship with you. It represents the essence of my message. See the website www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. That's endtimeissueministries, one word, .org for more information. See also www.relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. That's relationshipwithcreatorradio, one word, .com. Click on the show on the top menu and podcasts on the drop-down. For previous broadcasts, or search on Google for Relationship with Creator Radio, there are at least 4 podcast websites that have back issues. So today we're going to continue with the article 2021-0506, The Essence of My Message Regarding Creation, Part 2. And we're going to start with the next point, which is discrete forms are stable and not evolving. It is also important to note that these discrete forms that I spoke about last week are stable and they're not evolving. So apparently these forms all evolved to a point simultaneously and then collectively took a decision to stop evolving. Archaeological finds indicate that humans and other forms have been distinct and without major changes for thousands of years. It's really unwise to suggest that these things have evolved to a certain point and, having reached perfection, are now static. Again, this speaks to creation, not random, progressive, uncontrolled evolution. Folks, I just want to repeat the point that I made earlier. Creation took place in an evolutionary manner. There is no disconnect between the fundamentals of what people believe who have a relationship with Father and what people believe who don't, but who believe in evolution. Fundamentally, the basics are the same. There's just a few key rubbing points, conflict points, that cause this disparate view of things. And I want to submit that spirits prove creation. The word spirit appeared 1.37 billion times in Google on the 29th of May, 2021. There are millions, if not billions, of people who believe in spirits in some shape or form. Yet there are people who claim that spirits are fanciful and not real. I suggest for your consideration that, given the fact that on the internet 1.37 billion references to spirit occur, that it is foolish to argue that spirits do not exist. I personally have deep experience of the spirit realm and have total certainty that spirits exist. See the article in Appendix 1 to the broadcast summary, which I'm going to talk about in a minute. Again, one must consider the reality that, based on a limited spiritless evolutionary process, there is no reason for spirits to exist, and therefore one must conclude that the reality of spirits points to the reality of a creative agency who saw fit to place spirits in human beings and advanced animal forms. Some people claim that all animals and even plants and trees and rocks have spirits. So just think about it. The Almighty created spirits so that when the body died, the spirit could go to heaven and live with him for eternity. If you believe in evolution and you don't believe in the Creator, it doesn't make any sense at all. But again, folks, there's so much evidence showing creation. I'd really encourage you to rethink if you don't believe. Then discrete forms all reach perfection at the same time. I made this point a minute ago. Random evolution also fails to explain why all forms reach perfection at the same time, when with random evolution there would be all forms in all sorts of intermediate stages. This again speaks to a creator who carefully managed the creative process towards an end state where all the forms of plant and animal reach perfection in concert to be available to humankind to enjoy. Folks, if this had happened randomly, there would be all sorts of intermediate forms floating around, and there would be no stability in what exists, because once if evolution is the natural way that things progress, then nothing has happened that we know of to suddenly freeze it. Nothing has happened to cause all the intermediate states to go away. Really, think about it. There's just no way that what we have has happened in a random, stochastic, haphazard, evolutionary way. And that's it. I stress again, creation took place in an evolutionary way, and that is the confusion. The issue is not whether there was evolution or not. The issue is whether there's a creator or not. And my contention is that if you pay attention to all the points that I've made so far and what I'm still going to say to you today, there is absolutely no way that all of this could have happened without a highly intelligent, highly capable creative agency. It just is beyond comprehension to suggest that the creator doesn't exist. Well, it's easy for me, but just want to make that point. Then the global flood limits evolution. There is overwhelming evidence of a global flood about 4,500 years ago in which an ice comet impacted the Earth, melted and flooded the planet, accompanied by about 20,000 volcanoes and massive tectonic, that's Earth surface, disruption and upheaval, such that the entire surface of the Earth was comprehensively mashed up. And there are therefore very few artifacts on Earth that are older than 4,500 years, no matter what confused scientists who speak of millions and billions of years have to say. See the video on the website under flood child page, flood videos, child page 10 summing up for more information. The entire video is on YouTube. Search on YouTube for, quote, proof of global flood complete video, and you'll get the video that I recorded about 12 years ago, which sets out in great detail the flood, how it happened, what it did, and so forth. If you are believing that things happened over millions of years, I really encourage you to go and watch that video. Note that because of massive outpourings of lava and magma from the radioactive core of the Earth, during the so-called flood, anything that relies on radioactive half-life as a measure of age is fundamentally flawed. Radiocarbon and similar dating methods assume a constant level of ambient radioactivity for millions of years. Reality is a massive outpouring of radioactive material about 4,500 years ago, with huge ramifications for the level of radioactivity on the planet. So it's a completely different story, folks, if you really dig into it. And I have to say that I have deep personal experience of the Creator. I mean, if you don't believe everything that I've shared so far, you're going to battle with this one, but it's true. In addition to all the points raised above, I have deep personal experience of the Creator. See Appendix 1, which I'm going to share some of that in a minute. To this article on the website. I've had him speak to me and through me on numerous occasions. I speak to him constantly throughout the day, every day, and he speaks to me constantly in return. I've seen powerful manifestations of his spirit where people have physically been moved due to the pressure of his spirit, etc. The full article is on the Essence of Message Regarding Creation page on the website. I'll talk in quite a bit of length about this in a few minutes, so I'm not going to say too much here. But if you've never had experience of the Creator, I would encourage you just to get on your knees and say, Father, Yah, James Robertson says you're real. I don't understand. I don't believe. But I'd like to know for sure whether you exist or not. I'm asking you to speak to me or deal with me in some manner that I know that you exist. And I ask you for this in the name of Yeshua. And if you've got major objections to some of what I've said, well, then don't say it. I mean, but if you don't go to him and in some sort of level of way address him and ask him to help you, well, I mean, what do I say to you? He's not going to talk to you if you don't want to talk to him. You know, his whole purpose in creating you was to have a conversation with you. So maybe you should open the conversation. And then look out for things that happen that confirm his existence. Then I've touched on this before, but I want to really stress this. Creation did not take place in seven periods of 24 hours. It turns out that the core issue that divides evolutionists from creationists is actually the entirely foolish belief by many religious people who claimed that based on Genesis chapter 1 in the King James Bible in English, all of this came into existence in 7 years. That is seven periods of 24 hours. At the most simple level, the word translated day in Genesis 1 is the Hebrew yom, which has the following renderings in the Bible. Afternoon 1, age 8, age 1, all 1, always 14, amount 2, battle 1, birthday 1, Chronicles 38, completely 1, continually 14, course 1, daily 22, daily the days 1, etc., etc. There's probably about another 20 different words, all of which come from the same word translated day. So clearly it is absolute foolishness to base any form of teaching on the meaning of this word. In the context with which this word is used in Genesis 1, the best one can say is intermediate, indeterminate period of time, or words to that effect. Clearly, from the most basic consideration of the laws of physics, which the Almighty created, it is entirely impossible for this universe to have been magicked into existence in 24 hours and billions of years is quite plausible. Millions or billions of years is quite plausible. So we find evolutionists arguing against the outright foolishness of the day being 24 hours and in the process totally discounting and rejecting the other beliefs of those who champion seven periods of 24 hours and therefore rejecting the Creator. The foolishness of believers in matters such as this is a major reason why so many intelligent people do not believe in the Creator. Then near-death experiences prove there's a Creator. With advances in medical and clinical procedures, it has become relatively commonplace that patients have what are generally termed near-death experiences or out-of-body experiences, in which the spirit of the human being leaves the body, is taken to heaven, and then the corpse is revived and the spirit returns. There are now a large number of interviews available on YouTube which substantiate the validity of these experiences. It is important to note that only people who've undergone a significant experience of the reality of the Creator at some stage in their life have these experiences, even if they have subsequently forgotten this. They are therefore, for the sake of this article, believers. People who do not have such a relationship with the Creator do not have any experience. So there are reports that large numbers who do die are resuscitated who do not have such an experience. Such unbelievers would go on to become ancestor spirits or demons after death, and there are no agencies associated with what happens to them after they leave their bodies, and therefore no such near-death or out-of-body experiences. Folks, this is so important to understand. Until you recognize that if you're an unbeliever, things go that way, and if you're a believer, things go that way, and they're completely different. From the moment you die, you go down two completely different routes. It is not true that if you're an unbeliever, you go to hell and are tormented forever. In actual fact, it's the believers with sin in them, their lives when they die who go to hell for a period of time for correction and then they go to heaven. The unbelievers just stay with their corpse. And if you die like on the Titanic, you might sit with your corpse 3,000 meters under the water for a very long time. or in the grave or in this crematorium. Folks, you don't want to die as an unbeliever. You really don't. I encourage you to watch the three videos that I've cited here. Father Robert Spitzer, Near-Death Experiences. This is a fairly sober analysis of statistics and the frequency of these experiences. It's on YouTube. If you go to the article on the website, you'll find the YouTube link. Then Eben Alexander, A Neurosurgeon's Journey Through the Afterlife. This is a particularly important video for cynical, analytical people who do not believe in an afterlife. This man is a neurosurgeon and a believer through traditional church who was taken to heaven and miraculously healed. I strongly recommend this for people who do not believe and who are cynical. And finally, Is There Life After Death, moderated by John Cleese, 2018, Tom Tom Festival. This is an interesting discussion with particular emphasis on near-death experiences and reincarnation. The panel are all scientists and apparently unbelievers, so they miss the point that only a believer who has a near-death experience will be taken to heaven, an unbeliever will not be taken to heaven. They also miss the point that only believers can be reincarnated, given a second chance to live life and better and improve. The key point about this panel discussion is that it is further evidence that these things do happen and that heaven is real. By extension, I suggest for your consideration that these experiences validate the reality that there is a creator and that he created us with the objective of living with him in heaven for eternity, such that this life is an exam or test or trial in terms of which we will or will not qualify to spend eternity with him in heaven. Folks, you can dismiss these near-death experiences, but listen to the three that I've cited, very different approaches. If you're only going to watch one of them, then watch the one with Eben Alexander. Guy, very educated, neurosurgeon, specialist, living life close to being an unbeliever. Not really sure why he had the experience that he had, but he was a believer, and Father saw fit to reach him so that he would reach others. And just open your mind to the possibility that that it's real. So you can search. You don't have to go to the website. If you search for F.R. Robert Spitzer Near-Death Experiences on YouTube, you'll get that video, the Eben Alexander Neurosurgeon's Journey Through the Afterlife. That'll give you that video. Is There Life After Death, moderated by John Cleese? That'll give you that video. The point to be aware of there is, if you just search for near-death experiences on YouTube, you're going to find quite a lot. And if you watch one of those, you'll have others suggested to you. It's intriguing to see what heaven looks like or to hear what heaven looks like. I grant you that it's one person's word against whoever doesn't believe in them. But if you're skeptical, go and spend a few hours and watch a number of these videos or listen to them. You don't have to watch them because there's no animation. But just ask yourself how so many people can invent the same story with roughly the same information. Then I get that none of this explains where the Creator came from. Based on the points above, I submit with a high level of certainty that the Creator exists and created all that is around us. To some extent, that is easy for me to say. I've heard him speak to me audibly. I engage in an ongoing conversation with him every day of my life. I've had a significant number of dramatic supernatural experiences such that I know with absolute certainty that he exists. If you're somewhat persuaded by the points above, I expect that your last remaining objection will be something along the lines of, that's all well and good. So this Creator did create all this stuff. So then how was the Creator created? How do we get this absolutely massively intelligent, super creative being self-inventing himself? So I'd like to answer this as follows. One, if you do not believe he exists, then you have the same problem in terms of where all this stuff came from, because clearly it's here, we live it, so where did it come from? My answer to this is that the Creator created it, to which you ask again, so who or what created the Creator? My answer to this is that he tells us that his full name is Yah, the eternally self-existing. In other words, he has always been here. So you basically have a choice. You believe in Mother Nature, which inexplicably created all of this in some magic way and has always been here, but who is not real and will not reward you for life here. Or believe in the Almighty Creator who is real and who will reward you for your life here if you live it well and to his standards. See the article on the website, Confident of Destination When You Die. I know what my choice is, and I recommend this to you as well. So, folks, I understand it's a conundrum. The fact of the matter is that you can go around and kick the stuff and feel the stuff and thump the stuff. You can look in the mirror. It's all real. It's all there. It came from somewhere. Now, either Mother Nature created it in a random, stochastic, uncontrolled, unstructured manner and ended up with something that's remarkably well-structured and well-ordered, which is kind of a contradiction in terms, or there's a Creator. So at some level, you've got to exercise your faith, call it what you will, emunah, faith, whatever, trust and believe. Either Mother Nature exists and she created all this from nothing, or else that this has always existed, which, if you can believe that, well, you can just as well believe that the Creator exists. And the reason you should do that is that the Creator will reward you and Mother Nature won't. So again, I ask you, think about it. Challenge yourself. It really doesn't make a lot of sense to say there's no Creator. And as I said a minute ago, you can get on your knees and say, Father, you are. James says you exist. Please, will you do something to help me to know that you exist? I have a lot of confidence that if you ask it humbly and genuinely, he'll meet you somewhere. So then what do you do? Why should you believe? Well, I've already touched on that. You may have read this far and be asking the question, so what? Why does it matter? Why should I make a choice? Well, the bottom line is that the Creator has said, why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist? So if you believe, you make it into heaven when you die. If you do not believe, you remain on heaven on earth as an ancestor spirit or demon serving Satan, which is not a pleasant outcome. If you do believe, then this opens the door to a range of outcomes in terms of major rewards in heaven. See the webpage, Where Are You Going? I contend that it's definitely worth becoming a believer. I touched on this right at the beginning of the broadcast in my introduction. The fact of the matter is, what we have today was not planned. It's a mess. The messenger angel Hillel rebelled, took a third of the messengers with him, got kicked out to earth, became Satan, tricked Adam into eating the forbidden fruit, doesn't matter if it was an apple or a pear or an apricot or whatever. That put Satan in charge on earth. Satan's been messing with mankind ever since. That's why there's so much murder and rape and wars and all the rest of it, because Satan's controlling things. And you have a choice. You can either turn to serving the Creator now, which is not necessarily the easiest thing to do. There's a lot of uphill, but it's worth it. Or you can end up as an ancestor spirit, a demon when you die. I just don't get why you would want to do that. So what do you do if you now believe? If you now concluded that you do believe that the Almighty Creator exists, I recommend that you pray along the following lines. I want to stress to you, this is not a recipe. You can pray whatever seems right to you, but it needs to have the elements of this prayer. Father Yah, the Almighty Creator, I have previously believed that you do not exist. I now recognize that I was mistaken, and I repent and ask you to forgive me. I choose now to accept the reality of your existence, and I ask you to help me to learn about you and come into relationship with you. Show me what to read and listen to, and what not to read and what not to listen to. Send people to me who can help me, and keep people from me who will not help me. I ask you to send your set-apart Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to live in me and help me to become a faithful servant. Amen. You can go on in as much detail as you feel impressed to pray. You don't have to get on your knees. I just know from past experience that it's easier for me to get my head right if I'm on my knees. So I get on my knees every day. And just go for it. He'll meet you wherever you are. It doesn't matter who you are, what you are, what you've been doing. He will straighten your life out if you let him. You're going to have to do the hard yards, but he will show you what to do. As I've said before, there are 2,500 articles in the article database on the website, and there's about 1,200 web pages on the website. There's a huge amount of information on the website, answers to a huge number of questions. The article keyword cloud has got over 10,000 keywords that you can go and look for apps, just about anything. So you've got the support. Email me, I'll help you. We'll get on Zoom, whatever it takes to get you strong. So in Appendix 1 to the article is based on an article 2021-0502, Why I Believe. It occurs to me that while I write with great confidence regarding the existence of the Almighty Creator, whose true name is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing, it might be helpful to share a few of the experiences that give me this confidence. This may or may not help you directly, but I hope it will challenge you to grow to a point where you can have similar experiences. Preface. I confirmed in the Anglican Church at the age of 13, 14, thereabouts. I grew up in an Anglican family and went to church. At the age of 13, I was confirmed and had a very limited conversion experience that moved me to the standing of believer. I subsequently gave limited service, including as an altar boy from the age of 19 for about 4 or 5 years, at which point I walked away from the church because I was offended by the attitude of the priest and the hypocrisy of the church. I progressively backslid to a point where by 1991 I was effectively atheist and got into an adulterous relationship with my secretary. So, a couple of points here. You may, in your life, at some point, had a momentary moment where you recognized the reality of the Almighty. And the lights went on momentarily. You had a state change from unbeliever to believer. You may not even have known that it happened. I didn't have any experience. I just figured out years later that I had been a believer when I was confirmed. We did a whole lot of things, prayed a whole lot of prayers, and somehow I became a believer. But other people in that group didn't become believers. Very difficult to explain. Then on the 12th of March, 1993, Father spoke to me audibly. The relationship I just mentioned came out in the open in early 93, and I then discovered I was deeply in love with my mistress but could not be with her. I ended up in a hotel room figuring out how to kill myself. When at about 7 a.m. on the morning of the 12th of March, 1993, in a locked hotel room, the Almighty spoke to me audibly, out loud, and I knew instantly who it was. He told me to phone a friend and a business associate, and that friend shared his living relationship with the Almighty and led me back to the Almighty. At that point, I clearly got the message that I'd been on the fast track to hell. I repented, I turned around, and I started strenuously seeking to build my relationship with Father Yah. Since he'd spoken to me audibly, it never occurred to me that he would not speak to me again, so I went forward expecting to hear from him. That experience of the Almighty speaking to me, coupled to my realization of heading for hell, has kept me more or less on track ever since for over 30 years. I threw myself into serving him who had spoken to me. I started going to church several times a week, listening to teaching tapes, worshiping at every opportunity, reading the Bible and everything else I could get my hands on, and I grew rapidly in my relationship with him. All sorts of things happened. He spoke to me audibly a couple more times. He spoke to me through other people repeatedly. He spoke to me through directly. And so it was a real, I don't want to call it a roller coaster ride, it was a really intense ride of growing closer to him over a period of about 9 months. Just by the end of that year, I knew that I knew that I knew that he was real. And I'd grown hugely in my relationship with him. On the 25th of December, 1993, the same year, I was given a message for an Anglican priest and his wife. On a two-hour drive to celebrate Christmas with my sister, the Almighty gave me a message for the Anglican priest who would be officiating in the church. It was the first time I'd actually gone to a stranger and spoken in the name of the Almighty, so I pushed back hard. I did not want to do it, particularly since the guy was a priest. Throughout the service, the Almighty kept reminding me to speak to the priest. At the end of the meeting, as people were leaving, I went up to the wife of the priest and very tentatively gave her the message. She was exultant and shouted out at the top of her voice, "Trevor, this brother has the word we've been waiting for." We became friends, and they invited me to minister in their main church on a number of occasions. This experience encouraged me considerably, and I've given many other people messages from the Almighty since then, not all of which have been so gratefully received. Again, it's very difficult if you've never had the experience to explain what it's like to get a message inside you, spoken silently, if you understand what I mean. It wells up in your spirit. And you go to somebody and you give that message and it's on the mark. And it does something in their lives and it confirms that you did hear the Almighty, because there is no way I hadn't told anybody about that message. I didn't tell my wife. I didn't tell any of the people that we were visiting. I just went into that meeting. I got the message. I gave the message. It was right on the mark. It's an amazing experience. Then early on the morning of the 2nd of January, 1994, so literally just over a week later, Father puts his hand on me. A few days later, I was reading the book, Good Morning, Holy Spirit by Benny Hinn. I could not put it down, and I was deeply impacted by his story of his encounter with Father Yah. At about 3 a.m., I went to bed, and lying on my stomach, I prayed repeatedly, "Father, I desire to know you the way that Benny Hinn does." After some time, my bedroom was filled with a mighty roaring sound, and I experienced intense pressure pressing me into the bed, which I subsequently understood to be Father's hand. I woke the next morning with a strong anointing, a strong infilling of the Spirit of Yah. My new secretary arrived for work in tears. Her brother had committed suicide. I held her hands and prayed for her, and what felt like an electric current passed between us. She looked at me wide-eyed and immediately experienced supernatural peace. Numerous other incidents followed, including healings, etc. My church did not recognize me because I had not been to Bible school, and they had not taught me, so my ministry was largely low-key. But again, folks, this is dramatic stuff. In a locked house, and there's this roaring sound, which only I could hear. My wife was in the bed next to me, and she didn't stir. And this pressure for what felt like 20 minutes pressing me into the bed, physically, that I could feel that I was being pressed into the bed. And then to start having dramatic experiences. And we'll share a few more of those in a moment. Then the next point, the car carried by messengers or angels. Some months later, I was in a motor vehicle accident where I was late to catch an aeroplane and was speeding on a winding mountain road when I came around a corner and hit a pool of mud and lost control of the car, which slid sideways off an embankment about 10 feet high. As the car left the road, I cried out to Father, and his messengers caught the car and laid it gently at the foot of the slope. It should have rolled down the hill, but instead my pen and diary, which was open on the passenger seat, remained in place and were not displaced at all. I was not injured or even shaken. And just to put that in context, there was, I would guess, about 6 inches of mud, liquid mud, on the road. I came around the bend, lost control of the car, lost all grip on the road, and it just slid sideways. There was a verge of about, probably again, about 6 or 8 inches. We're out in the country, so it wasn't a concrete verge. So what should have happened was that the two near side wheels should have hit the verge, and the car should have rolled over laterally and down this hill of about a slope of about 10 meters, at 10 feet. It didn't. The car just gently lifted and came to stop at the bottom, undamaged. My diary was open with my pen on it. I was unshaken. I got out, took my briefcase, and climbed up onto the road, and somebody came and gave me a lift. Folks, again, a dramatic experience, which if you've had something like that, leaves you in no doubt that the spirit realm is real, that the Creator is real. And I'm not guaranteeing you that if you make a decision today that you'll have such experiences, but it's available to you. I know other people who've had similar experiences. Then, point number 5, Malawi in 1994. The assembly falls under the power of the Spirit of Yah. A few months later, I was in Malawi ministering in an assembly through a translator. The power of the Spirit flowed through me, and eventually almost the entire assembly of about 50 people was lying on the floor, sobbing as they were convicted of sin and other things. I only touched a few of them. It was a very powerful experience. Then the next day, also in Malawi, Yah speaks through me. The next day, I went to a meeting with the General Secretary of one of the major assemblies in Malawi, Assemblies of God, together with the two pastors who had been at the meeting the previous night. After a few minutes of conversation, Father told me to move the coffee table out of the way because he was going to slay this man in the spirit. I got up and walked towards him, and he stood up to meet me. And while I was still about 3 feet from him, he was just knocked sideways by the power of the spirit that was on me. Father immediately started to speak through me. I had no thoughts or control over what came out of my mouth. I was just the vessel that Father was using to speak to this man. I spoke for about 20 minutes and then moved to the next man, and the same thing happened, and then again with the third man. I then sat down, and Father then spoke to me through my own mouth for about half an hour. In all of this, Father spoke through me in the first person. I subsequently understood that this was the level of anointing that Yeshua, Jesus, walked in throughout his ministry, and that is why Yeshua is reported as speaking as though he's the Almighty. Refer to the webpage Essence of Message Regarding Creation for the balance of this message. That's all I've got time for now, folks. Just hear what I'm saying. These are dramatic experiences. If you go for it hammer and tongs and really commit yourself, read the Bible, read other books, read my website, just seek Father, spend an hour on your knees in the morning, an hour on your knees in the evening, spend an hour or two, an hour a day worshiping. Just go all out. You may well find you have similar experiences. So I'd like to wrap up by asking you, what is the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator? I'd like to ask you to critically examine where you are relative to the Almighty Creator. Do you talk to him constantly throughout the day and allow him to lead you in every possible way? Are you conscious of him at all times? Do you worship him at every opportunity? Do you count him your friend? Have you clearly and unambiguously heard him call you friend? If not, you're failing in your life purpose, and you'll be bitterly disappointed when you die. As I said earlier, think about it. There is absolutely no way that we would be here today without the Creator. We are not the random consequence of some uncontrolled, unplanned, unmanaged random process. We are here with a miraculously powerful, thorough, careful, complex design that we don't fully understand at this moment in time, and may well never fully understand, particularly when you've got people who don't believe trying to understand things which are created by the Almighty. I encourage you right now to seek a relationship with Father Yah. Go to him and say, Father, James says you exist. I don't get it. Help me. Help me to understand. Give me insight. Speak to me. Do something that I may know that you exist. And on the website, a video, Why Seek Relationship, worth watching if you haven't watched it. Miracle of Yeshua's Death, the Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. Seven components in drawing close to the Creator, recommended worship. The Creator's name is Yah, the eternally self-existing. The essence of my message to Christians, also articles for Jews, Muslims, other faiths, and unbelievers, all available at www.endtimeissueministries.org. That's endtimeissueministries, one word, .org. Transcripts of nearly all teachings in this series are available on the website at the bottom on the radio page. Recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far are available on the radio page, and they're all available at relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show and podcasts or search on Google for, quote, Relationship with Creator Radio. As I've said before, there are at least four podcast websites with back issues. Books constituting a compilation of most writings published since 1998 till May 2019 are available near the bottom of the menu at the compilation of most writings page. There are 15 PDFs fully formatted for printing either A4 or A5 format. I publish regular email articles. Email me on james@endtimeissueministries.org. That's james@endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the list or to seek counsel or prayer or give me feedback. Visit the website and use the Google search article keyword cloud, table of contents, and article search to locate the information you're looking for. They're all across the top of the menu on the website. Google search, particularly powerful. As I've mentioned before, about 1,200 web pages, 2,500 articles, fully indexed, cross-referenced, lots and lots of information, answers to a lot of questions, compiled over more than 20 years. In closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions to james@endtimeissueministries.org. Please email me to join the mailing list at james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know and I can connect to you by Skype, Zoom, Teams, email, or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week when I will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Work with me to make a way for Yeshua to return in victory at the end of the millennium and make his enemies his footstool. Folks, it doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter whether you're educated or not educated. Doesn't matter whether you're wealthy or poor. Doesn't matter whether you're tall or short. It doesn't matter whether you are blonde, blue-eyed, or black-haired, brown-eyed, or anything in between. Doesn't matter if you're from Africa or from Asia or from India or from Russia or from anywhere in Europe or from North America or South America or some island in the Pacific or Australia or wherever. It doesn't matter if you're a Satanist, a witch, or a warlock. It doesn't matter if you're a Christian or a Jew or a Muslim or you believe in Buddha or you believe in Confucius or you're a shaman or whatever. It doesn't matter. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. He will meet you where you are. Just go to him and say, Father Yah, James says you exist. I want to become your friend. Help me to get there. Show me what to do. Guide me in every possible way. Get on your knees for an hour at a stretch. Worship for a couple of hours. There's a whole collection of worship songs on the website. There's a whole web page on prayer. So I encourage you to go for it. I'm here to help you. Thank you so much. Good night.
Father, I